know how we do it.
Welcome. You are now in the village.
What up, y'all? This is your girl, Lady Jay. What up, y'all? This is your girl, Lady Jay. Y'all know what to do with us, huh?
You are now in the village. Home of Taking It Back Tuesdays. Welcome to the village, the kids' corner, the second helping, and music moments.
It's your girl, Lady Jane. Recording from the bedroom, from the kitchen table, from the library there. You know how we do it.
This is KK. This is KK. This is KK, and you're listening to Bluntly KK.
Welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your boy KJ.
What
tonight
up,
I have. Go ahead, baby. I'm sorry.
I'm all over your mic.
I'm all over it.
This your girl, Lady J. Hey.
And of course, we got Kinfolk in the village.
Kinfolk?
Mr. John from The Ink Show. Hey. I prefer an ignorance. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to keep saying it. What's going on, Mitchie, man? How you doing?
Everything's good, man. I'm enjoying the holidays. I haven't been doing shows lately, but we said we're going to get back to our schedules probably starting this week. So we're going to be looking out for us, but I really appreciate the opportunity to be back on your show.
Oh, man, we love having you, man. Like, I make sure I listen to y'all, and I was kind of like, where my show at? Where my new one? And I listened to the last one, and I was like, well, where's my new one now?
Everybody started having issues. It was just a bad, like, River started having family, a lot of death in his family.
Oh, wow.
And he said he just lost his funny, and Toya was having a lot of issues, so we started thinking my sister was going to be the replacement for Toya. It was just a lot of stuff, but now I think we got it back in order, so me and Rivers, I know we're recording tomorrow, so.
Okay.
So look out for us this week.
Okay, for sure, and I'll make sure I pop that, so no trip.
And you know what, John, I think life happens, you know, and I think in this podcast world, I don't know, sometimes I feel like, you know, although we have a steady following of people, I think that, I don't know if I like to think that our listeners know that we have lives and things just happen, but, you know, I really do appreciate you guys coming back and being back with us, because I kind of missed you guys.
I appreciate it. I always listen to you guys.
For sure. I appreciate it, dog. So let's jump into this, Lady J and John, let's jump into this. Let's discuss all these recent police incidents and all these things going on with the police, mm-hmm. and Eric Garner, Mike Brown, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, even throw back in there Trayvon Martin, all that stuff. Let's throw it all into one nutshell and let's discuss what's really going on in America right now as far as law enforcement. So let me throw this out here first. The things that the media portrays, and when it comes to blacks, African Americans, whatever you want to refer to yourself as, you know, I'm not gonna go Raven Simone on y'all, but whatever you want to refer to yourself as, it's, to me, it just seems like, whether we want to admit it or not, as a country, it just seems like there's a big target painted on people of color, and until that target is removed, I think we're going to see more and more incidents like this, which is truly unfortunate.
But do you think it's time for us to actually, I hate to use the word revolution, but it's time for us to actually evolve, get past the what we shall overcome stuff now. I think mm-hmm. it's time for us to make active movements to garner, you know, to garner things that we deserve. We deserve to be treated equally. I can always say that, you know, just from my youth, being a black in the South, we're treated differently. It's distinctly something different going on when a cop pulled me over, and a cop pulled me over when I'm in college, and my homeboy in the car, my white homeboy. It's a whole different ball game. Like, I basically have to tell them I'm not going, please don't shoot me. I'm fine, I'm harmless. Just give me my ticket or whatever. My white homeboy got out the car fussing at cops. I'm like,
I wish you
would. You're gonna get shot.
Right.
They gonna shoot you just because you with them.
And I'm in a passenger seat with my hands up. We ain't even do nothing. I got my hands up, seatbelt on. I'm like, I'm finna put my hands out the window. Like, please do not shoot me for this white boy.
Yeah.
And he argued with them and they let him go.
Mm.
Me, on the other hand,
Yeah.
What are you doing? Let me see your ID. I'm like, y'all didn't ask the driver for his ID.
Yeah.
That's crazy. They asked you for your ID, but didn't ask him?
Yeah. I definitely got a son who's about to be 16. I got an 8-year-old. And I we watched all this stuff unfold. We watched the Eric Garner stuff. We watched the Michael Brown stuff. And I actually had to tell them, we live in a different world than white America. I said, y'all, don't let having white friends think anything changes for you. Don't let the fact that, you know, you're educated change anything for you. You're still viewed as, you know, a thug, a threat on the street anytime a police officer pull you over.
So
keep that in mind.
You know, Jay, it's funny you say that, because my little cousin who lives with us, he was going out. And every time he goes out, we have a conversation about, okay, if you get pulled over by the cops, what do you do? Right. And so, like, he asked me one day, he says, why do you always drill me on what I'm supposed to do? I says, because you are a black man. And regardless that, even though we live in white suburbia, when you get pulled over, they're not going to see you as, you know, this young, very intelligent, like 4.0 kid who hangs out with white kids. They're not going to see that. All they're going to see you as a black male. You know, and so I do believe that something's got to give, something's got to change, because I definitely know that there's a difference between, like you're saying, there's a difference between what happens with white America, with white kids and cops, and black kids and cops. And, you know, I'll be honest, I don't really know how to change it. I don't really know what to do, because I feel sorry for my kids, because my two little brown boys that's over in the room killed, laughing and playing and choking. Like, we have to have conversations with them about this, because they are going to be treated differently.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And that's another aspect of it right there. It's, you know, I'm raising two black boys. Mm-hmm. So I do have to educate them early. And I was listening to a radio show and just some of the things that this man was talking about, he said in reference to dealing with police when pulled over. You know, it's crazy when we as black Americans have to go through all these different steps. He said, number one, he says, as soon as they pull you over, turn your overhead light on. Turn that dome light on so they can see inside your car, no problem. And he says, next thing is roll all your windows down. So as soon as they're approaching the car, he says they'll be able to look in from the window, from the back windows, or whatever the case may be. And he said, lastly, he said, as soon as you get the windows down, put your hands outside of your windows so they see your hands clear. You know what I mean?
And it's crazy
to have to go through all those steps.
That's what I was about to say. Like, why do we have to go through all of that? And let me pull back for a second before I get on my rant, because, you know, I can go hard sometimes. I'm going to try to refrain myself and be real cool. But what I am going to say is, there's been times when I've been, like, really fed up with videos and fed up with social media. But I think at this point in time in my life, I'm probably more thankful for social media and more thankful that everyone has access to a cell phone with a video camera. Because I feel like the reason why all of a sudden now we're seeing more incidences of people of cops doing wrong is because we now have the ability to record them. I don't think that all of a sudden today, in this past year or the past 2 years or past 3 years, all of a sudden that there's been this overwhelming amount of evidence, overwhelming surge of cops doing wrong. I just think that now we have the ability to record them doing wrong.
Which is all good, in my opinion.
But then, isn't it illegal? I always ask this question, and maybe you guys can help me out. Isn't it illegal to record someone without them knowing?
No, it's not. This is the thing. If you're in a public place, it is considered... I forget the exact legal verbiage or the jargon for it, but it's not illegal to record someone in a public place. I remember the case we had where the guy was taking pictures up women's skirts. Yeah. Right? And the judge said, these women are in a public place. I guess in some aspects, you kind of have to expect someone to take pictures up your skirt.
Yeah.
There it is.
Okay.
But in aspects to recording cops or recording something, no, it's not illegal. It's not illegal.
One state just recently said it's illegal. Wasn't it Illinois?
Oh, yeah. I was about to say that. Yep. Yeah, it was Illinois. They banned you from recording the police, right?
It said if something happens, it's going to be you can't submit it in court.
That's crazy. So now we're just is that First or Second Amendment? Like, what are we taking away at this point now?
Everything. Yeah. Yeah. This all stems back to the fact that we gave up our freedoms after we allowed all these dumb bills to be passed after 9/11.
Yeah.
And now that we're realizing that our freedoms have been taken away from us, now we're trying to fight to get them back. But at the same time, we allow these people in office, or we didn't vote to get the right people in office to get proper, get proper representation of us, or get not somebody to inform us what we were actually allowing to happen under our nose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but that's nothing. John, that's not new under the sun. You know, they've always been able to sneak bills and sneak stuff in the fine print, in the fine writing. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know if that's different under the sun.
But you got to look at it now. All these other stuff they've done in the past has been okay. But now they've taken away. It's a lot of freedoms being taken away.
Okay, see, I didn't. Well, I do know, like the Patriot, all that stuff like that. Basically, in a nutshell, it just seems like, I've heard people say, well, if I got nothing to hide, then what's the big deal? Whatever. But you don't know what all they're listening to. Like, you don't want people all in your business anyway. And in some aspects, I do agree with people that say, look, I don't want them all in my business. It's my business. But I do understand the other side of the coin when people say, we're just trying to monitor everyone. Okay, well, it's a double-edged sword. Once again, you kind of got to pick which one you want.
The lesser of two evils.
Yeah, pick the lesser of two evils. And I don't know. I know Village, y'all are probably going to jump on me about this. But personally, I don't talk about anything crazy on social media, on my phone, or anything else. I don't care to a certain degree. Like, if I'm texting my wife nasty pictures and she's texting them back, if they want to look at those, whatever. Hey, knock yourself out. You know what I'm saying? I don't really care. Shout out, man. But the truth of the matter is, man, it's like, look, man, they're going to do this regardless. What's the white boy's name that's hiding out in, Russia right now or something like that? You know what I'm talking about, John. What's that white boy hiding out in Russia? Snowden.
Oh, Eric Snowden.
Yeah, Eric Snowden. Out there hiding out, man. He's, bringing all this stuff to a head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't killed him. But they killed the black guy who brought everything to the head, too. The military dude.
Yes.
Yeah, you can open
Are
up
we expendable?
Wormhole of, yeah, you can open up a wormhole of this is how white people get treated. This is how black people get treated. Snowden can get away. He can get away
and live,
releasing all these documents and all this classified information. This dude, right, and the black guy can write, a diatribe, just basically pointing out everything that's been going on and how things are, and they gun him down.
Yeah. And again, I'm gonna go ahead and say
it's a different dynamic.
It is
dynamic. Your skin color matters, and they people can talk about you don't see race. You don't. I hear people all the time. I don't see race. I don't see skin color. You're a good person, John. But what about the next guy? What about that guy in the tank top and the fitted hat backwards and the sagging jeans? What do you think he's a good guy?
Right. Yeah.
You know me.
You know, I think
you don't know that guy.
One of the things that I think is interesting is that we are forever. Some people are always claiming I don't see race, but the truth of the matter is we do see race, right? Because race, everything, when we fill out applications, you know, it's there. You know, everything is categorized. That's how you function as humans. That's how we function as humans. We categorize everything. You're male or female. You know, you're black or white. You know, but you're only Jewish or Christian.
But let me throw this in real quick. We've both been to other countries, right? And in reference to labels, I think the U.S. is the worst.
You know what? I think, no. And the U.S. is not the worst. So I'm not going to claim that. The U.S. is the worst. We're worse at seeing colors. But I think in other countries, they see class. Their racism is class issues. Our racism is color issues.
Okay, caste system. Okay.
Yeah, casteism. Yeah, their racism has to do with the fact of whether they have money or whether you don't have money. Whereas over here in the U.S., we don't really care if everybody's kind of broke. Or either you're really broke or you're not broke. It's, you know, that's where you stand in the U.S. But over here, it's more about the color issue. And I have seen, when I was in Brazil, there was a whole lot of color issues going on in Brazil. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say that color issue doesn't. And Filipino, no, color issues, it go along everywhere. Everywhere has a color system, a color problem. You know what I mean? And I don't really know. I guess that's the way of making people feel better about themselves and other people. I don't know. But back to the topic at hand, like, what do we do with what we have going on here? You know, mm-hmm. Cops are killing each other, which is nothing new under the sun. You know what I mean? Cops are killing our little kids. We're killing our little kids. Let me go on ahead and jump on that one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? John, let me tell you what I think the problem is. Everyone is screaming that black people have black lives matter, right? I think the problem is that black lives don't matter to black people. Black lives only matter to black people when other people are killing black people. Then it becomes a problem. But if two black people are killing each other or slaughtering each other, that's not a problem. It's only till the white man comes in and start killing black people that becomes a problem. And so I think until black lives matter to black people, then I think we'll be able to have, you know, a bigger conversation and things will be able to change. But right now, we're just on a bandwagon. We're on one of the many bandwagons that we always jump on. Like, I want to see when it starts. When people stop selling crack to each other in your own neighborhoods, you know what I mean? When you get on that bandwagon, then I'll be able to have a conversation. But right now, I just feel like you're mad at the white people.
Hmm.
When you gonna get mad at the black people?
What you got, John?
I hear the black on black crime argument all the time, and I just don't think that's a valid argument. I mean, because it's only it has everything to do with the demographics of an area. Black on black crime is going to happen in areas that are largely black. White on white crime happen in areas that are largely white. It crime is crime, and I know everybody try to point out that black people kill black people. So why do we care when a white person kill a black person? Or a cop killer black person, it's a difference. It's the fact that it's not that we don't care that our people are killing each other or whatever they're doing, or poisoning each other with drugs and ruining communities. I think we have a problem with the fact that when something unjust is done, we're not given the chance to have a just situation. We can't even get to trial. That's the sad part about the Eric Garner and Mike Brown case. It wouldn't surprise me if the cops got off and said not guilty. I'd have been fine with that. I'd have said, you know, whatever. But we can't even get to a trial nowadays. They don't even think that we're worth enough to say, you know what, let's put this situation into some other people's hands of their their peers. A jury of their peers, and let them mitigate over this situation. we can't get there no more. It's just like we got, I mean, the Mike Brown thing, it was, you know, it's circumstantial. You got one side saying this, one side saying that. The dead man can't talk. But with the Eric Garner case, we have a videotape looking directly at what the hell happened, and we still can't get a trial. That's the part we can't, people don't understand. It's not the fact that we're shocked that white cops get off for hurting or murdering black people. It's the fact that they don't go to trial. Due diligence. Nothing is done to them. Prosecuted, anything. If I shot some nigga trying to rob my place, they might take me to trial. I still might get indicted. But yet still, this dude can kill another person. I have to say, a black person, white dude can kill a white cop can kill a black person, and nothing happens. It basically is an open market saying niggas are, you know, targets. I hate the thing that they always use this excuse that I was scared. I mean, if you're scared, why do you have this job as a cop? You got law enforcement training, probably military training, to apprehend people. Why a dude can shoot up in Colorado, why this white boy in Colorado can shoot up a movie theater, kill however many people, 14, 15 people,
and walk
out. He's apprehended. A nigga can't sell some loose cigarettes on the corner and he gets to die. He gotta die. Mm-hmm. Some boy steals some sweets out of a store, he gotta die. But a white boy with a whole arsenal of weaponry can go into a movie theater looking like the Joker, shoot everybody up, and goes to jail. He's still in jail right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what we don't understand. We don't understand the dynamic that white people get apprehended, black people get killed.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and like the protests is going on. Like, did y'all see the pictures of what's going on in New York?
I saw those earlier today.
Those were beautiful pictures of them. It's time for us to say, enough is enough. Something got to change. I don't know if we need a voice. I don't know if we all just need to band together and say, y'all got to do something. Y'all got to do something and make things change around here. Because we had enough. We finally had enough. I mean, I was telling Daphne the other day, I was like, we might be seeing the beginning days of the second civil war in this country. We could be at the edge, at the breaking point of black people, or I ain't gonna say black people, people of color rising up and saying, you know what? Just like white people rose up against the British who wanted to be treated fairly, it might be time for us to rise up and to be treated fairly. And sadly to say, people gonna get hurt, people gonna die.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You have to, the path to freedom is not an easy path. It's gonna be some people who have to lay their lives down for this cause.
Yeah. You know, John, you make a really good argument about people of color, because I'm pretty sure, like, we're just looking at this from the African-American perspective, but I'm pretty sure if you were a Latino or a Latina in this world, I'm pretty sure there's a whole different, you know what I mean, perspective that they could kind of bring to the table.
They sure can.
And so I'm pretty sure that their perspective would probably line up with ours.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the rates of the people that are in prison, it is, you know, majority minorities that are in prison. So, and you could take minorities across any board, whatever color, race, ethnicity that you want. It's majority minorities that are there. So, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, in reference to the Civil War aspect, you know, I don't think I've ever actually verbalized that. But I think it is coming down to a point where it'll be us versus them. And by us, I mean people of color and people that support people of color having the justices, the rights that everyone else has. I would hate for that to happen, because this is, like I said, this is America. We're supposed to be above all that stuff at this point in history, in our lives. But obviously we're not. When you can, I mean, at this point we're killing, black people are being killed almost like a sport. and I, when I say sport, I mean the sport of can I get away with it? Mm. Kill them and get away with it.
I mean, but let's pull back for a second. Like, has this been any different than it's been in years in the past? Like, if we go back and look at slavery, black people were killed for sport. You know what I mean? And if we go back and we look at Civil War, the Civil Rights Movement, and even right before that, you know, a couple of years before that, black people were being killed for sport and no one really, you know, and then we had the Civil Rights Movement. So I question, is this any different than this has been?
It's not different, but it's 2014 at this point.
So we expect different.
I'm sure, John, what you got, Max? I know I expect different. I don't expect black people to be treated the same as they were treated in 1952. That's insane.
Yeah, we're far past the whole we can't sit at the front of the bus and we can't sit at the counter of the Woolworth and things of that nature. But it's...
Is this what we're seeing right now, what we're feeling right now, is this the new
Jim Crow?
The new generation, the new I don't want to say is this the new black people's plight? You know what I mean? Like every couple of generations, black people have a new plight. We have a new fight. Is this our new fight right now?
I think this has always been our fight. I think we finally have the tools to get the world to see our fight,
uh-huh,
or see our plight. And it's social media. Social media has become a powerful tool for this, for whatever happens. I mean, you gotta think, 10 years ago, there wasn't really cell phone cameras,
right,
to record anything. Now everybody have a camera because everybody have a cell phone. I mean, house phones have went away.
Right.
So everybody has access to record, to take a picture. Yeah. So now, and to have a voice with the social media of Facebook, Twitter,
right,
Instagram, Snapchat, all that stuff. So now people can actually have a voice, and they can actually record things. They can actually put pictures out there of what's going on. Right. When in the past, it was more hearsay or he say, yeah, she say. Now we have this tool that we actually have begun using outside of being silly. Well, it's still a silly little thing, but
right. But no, now, but I see even people still,
using it for the right purposes.
Right. So no longer are we. I mean, even though we're still, you know, recording fights and putting them on World Star Hip Hop, we are also using this as a tool to show the injustices that we've lived and we've experienced all of our lives.
Yeah, and, right? And when you put it out there for social media, it's a world platform. It's just not your neighborhood platform or a community, a community service thing. Your neighborhood watch or your neighborhood thing. You know, now you can put this out here like, this happened in my neighborhood. I need the world to see this.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is what's really going on. This is how we live every day.
And that's what social media has grown to. It's grown to become a every second tool to show what's going on, and that's why I think it's the right. We got all the tools to show, you know, to put everything on the forefront of, and you know, we need to do something different than what we've been doing. This marching stuff, and you know, the protests are peaceful. I like that fact. The looting and all that stuff, that's just not serving a purpose.
Right.
It's just, you know, I mean, even with Rodney King stuff, that was looting. But yeah, they always want to say, we're thugs, we're riding. White people celebrate a Super Bowl, tap the town, they're celebrating. It's the same difference. They tap a town worse than they tore Ferguson for the, what's the name? Yet still, ain't nobody getting pepper sprayed and shot out there.
You know, John, so let me ask this question. Let's move forward from here. How do you think we can change this? Like, I know that's really a big, broad statement, a really big, broad question. Okay, so maybe let's bring it in. So if everyone's listening to, you know, this show in their cities and their towns, how do we band together collectively to kind of make some changes? Do we do it on a political level? Do we find out who our, you know, representatives are and our senators are and kind of go that route? What do we do?
We find out who our current people are and what they're all about. But how about we groom people who have our agenda to get in these offices? How about we get out there and vote for them people to put them in office and get our agenda, get our voice heard that way And if that's not met, I mean, the protests, let the world see. Let us, let them, I mean, because this is a stain. This is the way the world sees us. They looking down on us saying, wow, they really still have slavery going on, basically. The world sees us as something different than we see. We see it as injustice. They see it as they still back in the 50s. They still doing, they still got, you know, Jim Crow. They still got, you know, all mm-hmm. this stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So let's keep embarrassing this nation. And, you know, and putting everything that we do on a world platform so everybody can see. And they have to, something will have to change eventually. And if not, you know, rise up. You can't, it's only so long that the slaves stay with a foot on their neck.
You're right about that.
They eventually rose up and, you know, tried to take their freedom with force.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not for all, like, you know, no justice, you know, I know no justice, no peace is a powerful statement. It doesn't mean you have to go out and kill folks. It just means I'm not, you know, if I can't sleep at night, if I can't lay my head on my pillow safe at night, you can't either.
Mm.
It don't mean I'm finna threaten your life. It don't mean that you're in any danger. It just means that my voice is gonna be heard where you not gonna sleep every night the same way I don't sleep every night. You need to worry about the same things I worry about. And the people that you think protecting you, they don't protect us. But you know, it's like, we gotta all be on the same playing field. We all gotta play the same game. We're playing Pee Wee League football and they're playing NFL.
Yeah,
we're not in the same game right now, and we need to get into the same level playing field. We need to start doing things, and I think the first thing is let's start grooming people to be in office.
I mean, but if even if we start doing that now, that's not going to change what's happening now. We'll be able to change people, you know, 10, 5, at the most maybe 5 years from now, maybe, you know, if we start grooming people. If we start grooming them at the local level so that they can eventually, you know, transition up, it takes a little while for them to make that transition. So, yeah. And I guess maybe if we start doing everything, you know, if you burn 8 inches to a candlestick, eventually you get to the center, you know?
You okay?
And so maybe that's what has to happen. Maybe we have to have a collective group of people that's grooming, you know, people grooming politicians to have our agenda at hand, you know, as well. And whatever color politician that is, I'm not saying grooming African Americans.
Yeah, I didn't say it had to be black or white.
Yeah, I'm just saying
we just need to start grooming people who have our agenda.
Yeah, you know, grooming people who have our agenda. And then I like to see, you know, some stuff happen at the grassroots level, you know, because I do believe if you change a person can have an effect on a community, and a community can have effect on, you know, a nation. I do believe that way. So I believe that at the grassroots level, we have to kind of do some changing in the community, the way we do things, the way we handle things. I don't know whether that's the way we deal with cops or whatever. I don't know what that looks like.
Well, that's a given. The way we deal with cops and the way they deal with us, it's a given. If me going through law enforcement training and being in the military, the way you're trained, it's like, it's different. I'm not going to say it's a bad way of being trained, but you're always taught to be on the lookout. You're always taught to be vigilant. And by all accounts, you should be. You know, this is your life. You do want to go home at night. But when you immediately go into these particular neighborhoods and it's just like, oh, here we go, we're dealing with them again. You know, you're already going in with the wrong mentality, the wrong mindset. And that's what needs to change, because they're in the hood, as we like to call it, there are a lot of good people in the hood. It's unfortunate that media, I'm not going to say social media, but it's both media and social media, actually, they portray the bad side of things. You know what I mean? We're not portraying the good that goes on in the hood. We're not talking to the man that's handing out meals, or to the woman that's out there stopping people from wanting to rob this liquor store. We're not seeing those people. We see the people with the sagging pants out there fixing their car, doing whatever it is they're doing, and that's what we focus on. We get those knuckleheads in the media, mm-hmm. instead of getting a person that's like, look, I'm college educated, I have something to say, I can speak intelligently, come talk to me. But no, the reporter, when the thing goes through, when the reporter's like, oh, well, let's find someone to talk to. They find
the most horrible looking person.
Exactly.
With no teeth. Like, I like to think they do that mess on purpose.
Exactly. That's like, what I was going to say.
They don't never look for the person who's like the most well-dressed, the clean person. They looking for like Auntie Tina, who's always drunk, who ain't got no teeth, who got the rollers in the hair, who barely can speak. You know, they always look for the worst of the worst to put on TV. It just drives me insane.
It's still television. It's still entertainment.
Yeah, you're right. At the end of the day, it's still entertainment that you're trying to get those ratings up, right? Or in some ways get your YouTube video count up too.
Well, remember the dude? What was the dude? The Dawson? What was the dude who ended up being a YouTube like the sensation after he?
Antoine Dotson.
And
I was just about to say, how y'all think we got Antoine Dotson?
My yes, God.
Antoine Dotson was a prime example of the media looking like, oh, you know what? We're going to get him.
We can exploit this.
Right?
Easily exploit this. Hmm. And yeah. So I don't know. It's going to, like you said, John, it's going to take the aspect of we have to find those that are for the people's agenda. And the people, it's everyone, Black, white, Mexican, Native American, Chinese, whatever you go under, we need to find people that are for the agenda, not the top 1% agenda, because that's really what this is about. Mm. It's about those top 1% are like, oh, well, you got to protect our interests. We have the money. And so you do what we tell you to do. Well, here's another thing I want to throw at you real quick. When there's nothing left, right? When the poor people are tired of being poor because we outnumber the rich, what are the rich going to do? Hmm. They need us to protect them. When poor people realize we're greater than them, mm-hmm. What's going to happen to the rich people?
I don't know. You know, and I just wanted to ask this one question, John. When we were talking, you were talking about, you know, grooming politicians and grooming people. It made me think, do we need a leader as African Americans? Like, we don't have, we got Al Sharpton, and Lord Jesus, give me strength with Al Sharpton. I'm gonna try to hold my peace.
I don't bash him anymore because he's at least he's there. I try to look at it like that.
I like Fat Al more.
Fat Al was a little more entertaining. Yeah, I agree.
I just feel like he's always there, never really doing anything. Always got to be the people's representative, yet nobody seems to like him. I don't know. I just think that. Do we need a leader as Black people? Like, would that be, you know, the thing about pastors and thing about preachers, what makes them work is that they are a leader in the community and people can go to them, you know what I mean, and rally around. And so I think, and the reason why the Civil Rights Movement was so great is because we had Martin Luther King and we had Malcolm X and we had people to, you know what I mean, rally around and kind of say, okay, where do we go? Who do we follow? Where do we go collectively?
And I was going to say that. I was listening to, what is it, Straight OLC podcast. Mm-hmm. And it was right after the whole Mike Brown and Ferguson thing was mm-hmm. popping off. This brother said, you know, during our parents' time frame, Black men had someone to fall under. Mm-hmm. You fell under the guidelines of following Malcolm X,
yep.
Martin Luther King. You had the Black Panthers, or you followed the steps and went to the military. We had lanes for each, you know,
each type of person.
When you became into a manhood, you figured yourself out mm-hmm. and you figured out which direction you want to go, which lane you want to fall in.
Yeah.
I don't think we have those lanes anymore.
We don't have no lanes. Everybody's just running around doing whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, until we can come together collectively as a cohesive unit, what made the Black Panthers so powerful, there wasn't a lot of them.
No.
Like, if you really go back and look at the numbers, there were not a lot of Black Panthers, but they were powerful in the little bit of numbers that they had. You know what I mean? As far as coming through and breaking down a community and rebuilding and you know, doing stuff like that. They were powerful. Malcolm X, you already know about his numbers. You ain't even got to really question that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And even Martin Luther King, you know, these were figureheads in the community that were able to collectively bring us together. And I think the reason why we're not having any moment or we're not having any real impact on what it is that we're doing. Yes, we're marching. Yes, we're doing, you know, on the Capitol steps and stuff like that. And those are great. But until we have one person that can bring us together as a whole, or a group of people that can bring us together as a whole, I think we're going to miss the mark every time.
But you know what? I want to say there are voices out there, but we label them as radicals. Like Cornell Hicks, I'll use him as an example. He is, I mean, he says pretty much the same thing that Malcolm X said. You know, it's as far as, he's more of the hands-on approach to it all, to the black rise. You know, we need to take more, you know, put out, you know, instead of waiting and being more passive and waiting on people to help us come up, he's saying, take what's yours, be more active in it. But we label him as a radical. We don't listen to him. Like, Cornell X might be crazy. Like, he's in the Houston area. And at one point, he was like, a couple of months ago, me and Rivers was talking about it, that he wanted black people to walk around the neighborhood with guns, with shotguns, legal weapons. Everybody like, man, he crazy. He gonna get everybody shot. Nah, he know your rights. Your rights, you can bear arms. He just wants you to get out there and show that you're not scared of these white folks, these cops riding around your hood watching you. You can walk around with a shotgun. You can walk around with, as long as it's invisible range. But everybody was like, man, he crazy. We have voices who know what they're talking about, but we label them as radical. I just don't know if we're ready for somebody to lead us at this present moment. I think we want a leader, but not ready for somebody. We want a leader. We're not ready to follow anybody.
That's heavy.
Okay.
And I wonder why, but that's for maybe that's.
Yeah, that's another topic, but that is heavy topic. I'll have to get you back on for that one. But you got to think about it. Like, we've pretty much dogged the people that we are supposed to have in leadership. And
I don't know if we have anybody in leadership.
Well,
I mean, I guess maybe it's just me, you know, and maybe this is just me being small minded and thinking only in reference to, like, you know, the 50s and the civil rights movement. Maybe it's me thinking of, like, only the Malcolm X's and Martin Luther King's. But I'm pretty sure if you go back at the grassroots levels, there are leaders all the way across the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so maybe the truth of the matter is maybe we need to get the grassroots leaders across the nation together collectively in their regions and then see what's happening. You know, because all you got to do is get people together and start a flame.
That's it.
You know?
And start a movement with those people.
With those people, because they already got the ears of the people.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think it is.
You ain't going to get Joel Osteen out here.
The mega church? Nah.
He started in the hood. That church is called Lakewood. Lakewood is a hood.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Lakewood, I grew up in the neighborhood next to Lakewood. Lakewood is the hood. I got robbed in Lakewood before. As a high schooler, I got robbed in Lakewood. Lakewood is the hood. He started that church. His daddy started that church in the hood. Mm. Built a bunch of houses and stuff like that. I forgot his dad's name. When original Osteen died and Joe took over, Joe made that thing a mega church. Forgot about the hood. They kept that name Lakewood. Lakewood is a hood in Houston, on the north side of Houston.
See, I didn't know that. I'm not much for watching church on TV. Not really my thing. If I'm going to go to church, I'm going to go to church. That's just how I feel about it. But to watch it on TV, I'm good, because I don't get nothing out of that. That's just me. But Village, you've heard our thoughts on this. We're going to take a quick break. Lady J, we got to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. Okay. Village, we're going to actually try and get John back on one more time, because this is a deep conversation, and I would love to get a part two, part three, part four, and maybe even get a bigger group of people on.
Who knows? I mean, there's a conversation. People are having this conversation across the world, across the nation. Like, I think that we can't, maybe this is how we start having conversations on how to fix stuff, you know?
Yeah.
This is where it happens at the
yeah.
It happens at the table.
Yeah, you know? And podcasters,
look,
we all have voices.
We are the future in this.
Yeah,
I don't care if you are a black podcaster, urban, whatever you want to call yourself. We are the future. We are the wave of this. FM radio
is
a wrap. Dang. They can. They're only going to do so much. Why? Because their sponsors.
Won't allow
only allow them to do so much.
They won't allow them to have this conversation.
No.
So But
not the way we're having it. No.
I welcome, you know, I would love to be able to sit and come back and have this conversation, John. And maybe we can have the whole crew on.
Yeah, you know? I really want to get Toya and River because, you know, River is always, and sometimes he kind of, to me, he kind of puts himself down sometimes.
But he's heavy.
But he, dude, I was just going to say that that brother is heavy.
He's heavy.
Brash. He's very brash. He's very knowledgeable.
Yes.
And you know, I can say, and that's how me and Rivers became really close arguing. Me and Rivers became real good friends arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a point of view, he have a point of view, and we both can display it perfectly fine, but that's how we got cool. That's actually, me and him sitting up having arguments was the way me and him got cool, and that's why he became part of the show, because I'm like, he brings a more radical and a real strong point of view on anything he says.
Yeah.
And but he's so logical when he says it, though.
And he's very educated. People might look at Rivers and like, ah, he's just a barber. He don't know what he's talking about, blah, blah, blah. Rivers reads all the time. Rivers don't have a customer in his chair. He got a book in his hand.
That's what's up.
And he's always reading.
That's my type of dude right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He definitely. Like I said, I listen to y'all, and I'm like, because Rivers, I remember one time, I'm just trying to not go off topic here, but you were talking about the word faggot one time, and I know you hate that word, you know, and all that stuff, but he actually explained the definition of what a faggot is, and I was like, I didn't know that.
He's like, hold on.
I had to go
Webster's Dictionary, page 752.
Like, I had to go and look at it. I was like, I'll be damned. It does say that. You know what I mean? So I was like, wow.
He researches. He not only just look at the surface, he look underneath the surface, and he finding out back history of everything. He's very knowledgeable. And that's why I always say he's the intricate part of the show. I might be the voice of the show, but I think he's the backbone of the show.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel like you, like, I'm in the position where I'm, you know, I'm the leader of the show, but Lady J and KK, they just hold the show down. They definitely make it what it is. So I definitely agree with that statement. So Village, John, please tell everybody about the ink. I'm sure they already know, but please reiterate the ink, the ignorance.
How do you find it?
Yeah, tell everyone how we find you.
You find us. You find us on iTunes, Podomatic, Facebook, Instagram. On social media, I am Liquor Is My Muse. It's all one word. It basically means liquor inspires me to do the dumb things I do to entertain you guys. But it was given. We some listener gave it to us, and I gave it to me, and I stuck with it. But the show is called The Ink. If you want to find us on Facebook, join our Facebook page. Type in The Ink Radio Show. You'll find us there. Like the page. We do our updates when we do shows regularly. It's always updated there. We have a page called Nignorant Show. KJ, keep talking about it. We originally started off as a show called Nignorance, and we got a lot of flack for it. We wanted more user-friendly names, so we went to The Ink. But it's still a Nignorance page. That page has over 6,000 people on it and still get likes, and we don't do anything on that page. But, you know, but people still like the page. It's a lot of crazy pictures and funny stuff on there. And shows. I still post the ink on that page as well. My Instagram is Liquor Is My Muse. Rivers is Life and Time of Rivers. Toya's left all social media, so I can't give her information anymore. She just said she got fed up with it and wanted to take a hiatus from social media.
Okay.
But, man, you can find our shows there. You can find our shows like Facebook, Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic. Any place you find a podcast, you can find The Ink. Just type in The Ink and we'll be right there for you.
Okay.
We normally put a show out on Tuesdays, but I know I've been bad about it. It'll be a show this Tuesday.
Okay. And and if I don't, I will verbally thrash you on Twitter and on Facebook, and I will get you.
Look, it's hard to put our shows during the football season, okay? We Texas fans are on the edge of our seats. We just want an 8-8 season. We don't even want playoffs.
Okay.
Not this year. Next year, we expect them playoffs. This year, 8-8.
Let's finish 500.
After 2-14, we want 8-8.
Finish 500 sounds good. So, Village, all jokes aside, I do like the Nignorance page. But the ink is so much better for his brand, or what he's trying to do. So, please, go check out the ink. Lady J, what's your Twitter?
At Love and Chanel.
And I am at Enlighten My Mind. If you're listening to the show, You're either on Podomatic. Check us out on Stitcher, iTunes. There's an app called IPP Podcast Player. You can check us out there. Go to Facebook, search Welcome the Number Two The Village, all one word. Go to welcometothevillage.com. That is our wonderful website. You'll find all of our shows there, a little bit about us, what we do, what we're trying to do. For 2015, we're actually planning some things. We have a skate-a-thon going on that we're planning.
You know, John, this year we're doing some big things on the I'm gonna mess this word up, so I always mess this word up.
Philanthropy.
That level.
Yeah. Y'all trying to become philanthropists.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Philanthropists. We are. Yes. We're working on that.
We're working on that. Because you know me, I'm a do-gooder. So we are trying to feed the homeless this year.
Yeah.
We're trying to every 2 months go out and feed the homeless in the San Diego community. We are trying to do a skate party, a skate fundraiser for the deaf and hard of hearing community. We are doing backpacks for at-risk youth. And then we got something else going on.
The bowling. I think the bowling thing was the other big one we had.
We're trying to do big things. And so we're asking that our supporters, that our villagers, that they come out and, or if you're in the San Diego area, support us. Or support us financially, if you want, by donating to us on our website.
And please understand, folks, Lady J and I have jobs. This money doesn't go to us. Everything that we get, it goes back into our community.
Yeah.
We don't take a dime of this. And if you want to see receipts, just hit me up. Yeah. You know, we don't keep any of this money. It doesn't go into our account. We have an account labeled Welcome to the Village.
Yeah. And we're not just trying to feed the homeless this year. We're trying to feed them with good food, because you know, like some of the soup kitchens that they do good work, I'm not mad at them, but sometimes they don't give good hearty, you know, food. They don't give you grandma's kid cooking at the soup kitchens, you know. And so we're trying to provide the homeless with that level of cooking.
Yeah,
you know,
we're trying to do the best we can with what the limited resources we have. Yeah. So the more resources that we get, the more we'll be able to do. And the village people is the village. It's not a black thing. It's a black, white, Mexican. It's a human being thing.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind, okay? Like I said, I'm adding light in my mind. Also follow me at W2TheVillage. You heard the website. I never know the Google phone number. I'm going to type up something.
I mean, we got some big things. Just stand by. Just like our Facebook page and we'll keep you posting on what's going on.
Yeah, just like our page and we post everything. I try to post at least twice a day. Lady J is good about posting once, twice a day. So, yeah, just follow us. And if Village, also, if you just want to laugh like hysterically, go to the Ink.
Yeah, you do.
Just go. Don't listen to them at work because you're going to get fired. Because I've been at work crying, laughing behind what River says.
Make sure you have headphones on when you listen to us.
What's that?
Make sure you have headphones on and listen to us.
I have never listened to you anything but headphones. I can't blast you in my office. It ain't going down like that. So, Village, you guys have heard our thoughts. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. You can hit up John over at the Ink. Let him know what you think of what he said. We're all about this. Just come and holler at us, okay? On behalf of the village, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Have a great night. Go on.
I holla. Are you in the area of Melbourne, Florida? Are you in need of an excellent dog or cat groomer that loves your four-legged family as much as you do? Well, at Heavenly Touch Dog and Cat Grooming, we love each other just as we love your pets. Family-owned and run with perfection as our goal. If you would like to book an appointment, please call us at 321-622-6963. Email us at heavenlytouchdogandcatgrooming@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at Heavenly Touch Dog and Cat Grooming and check out our photo gallery of our adorable, satisfied customers. Come visit us in person, 2260 Sarno Road, Melbourne, Florida, 32935. Visit our website for the most current pet-friendly specials, www.heavenlytouch.vpweb.com. With a variety of services to choose from, we are sure you'll be happy working with us. We know your pet will want to come back for another heavenly touch.